Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. We're glad you're here. Won't you stand up with us?
How you doing, buddy?
As you know, we always like to start our service with a time of praise and a time of worship. I'm reading here in Psalm 95. It says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with songs, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all the earth. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Lord, we come before You with singing, with thanksgiving, with worship, with praise. Lord, we thank You that You are good and Your mercy endures forever. We thank You that You inhabit the praise of Your people. We thank You, Lord, that as we worship You this morning, that Your presence fills this place. We welcome You, Holy Spirit, to have Your way here this morning. We ask You, Lord, to move by Your Spirit, to touch every person, to touch every life. Let not one of us be the same way that we came, but let us be changed by Your presence, by Your glory, by Your word today. And Lord, we give You alone all of the praise for everything that is said and for everything that is done. If you believe that, shout amen, somebody. Give the Lord a big hand of praise.
Thank you.
always love it when Jesus says, assuredly. Because you know this is for sure. He said, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now we are gathered here this morning in the name of Jesus. It's the name that is above every name. It's the name to which every knee will bow and every tongue will declare that He is Lord. We're gathered in that mighty name, and He is present here in our midst. He is with us. Jesus is here with us today. He promised that He would be. And He said that if just two of us will agree in prayer, it will be done by our Father in heaven. There are more than two of us here this morning, but we want to pray and we want to agree with you. We want to believe God for a miracle in your life. I want you to know that our God is a healer. He is the healer. And we have seen the Lord heal. I've seen the Lord heal thousands of people in my lifetime. I pray for people and see miracles happen. Now I'm not the healer. I can't heal anybody. But Jesus, the Bible says that there's nothing that is too difficult for Him, that all things are possible with Him, and that He is the healer. And He said the believer will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. He said that when someone who believes, a believer, when they lay hands on the sick and pray, they will recover. Maybe you need to be set free from an addiction today, from depression today, from some kind of a bondage today. I want you to know who the Son sets free is free indeed. Maybe you have a financial situation. You don't know what to do. Let me tell you, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. Maybe there's a relationship you need restoration. Whatever it may be, even if I didn't mention it, whatever you need from the Lord, we want to pray with you. The Bible says, if you call out upon the Lord, He will hear you, and He will answer you, and He will rescue you, and He will deliver you. He is a God who is full of compassion. He is a God who is close to the brokenhearted, and He is here today, and He wants to meet that need in your life. He wants to give you that miracle. He wants to heal you, deliver you, provide for you, protect you, guide you, lead you, strengthen you, fill you with peace. Amen.
Amen.
So if you need prayer, please do not be shy. There's no reason for you to be shy, because everyone here today, we love you. And we want it, and we all need prayer at one time or another. So if you have a need in your life, please let us pray and believe God with you. Let us agree in prayer. If you need prayer, I want you to step out into the aisle today. Just stand in the aisle, and then we'll know. And then we're going to come to you. Believe God with you. You need prayer. Step into the aisle right now.
Want me to go?
I want you to. Will you all stretch your hand toward Melissa today? Because I believe in God for a miracle in her life. I believe in for God to restore her health to her. She's had some real difficulties in her health, and I know that the Lord is the healer, and I want you to believe God with me today. Will you do that? Stretch your hand toward Melissa this morning. Lord, I thank you that Melissa is here today. I thank you that she got up and she drove from Wellington to be in your house today, and she came with expectancy, Lord, that you would touch her life. And so in the name of Jesus, as I lay my hands upon her, I release your anointing. I release your power, Lord. I take authority over this sickness, this Crohn's disease. You go in the name of Jesus. I command you to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I command in the name of Jesus then you would be healed. We agree together, say, I agree. Say, we agree. We thank you, Lord, for healing Melissa, restoring her health to her. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you right now that your anointing is flowing through her body, healing her, delivering her, setting her free, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. But all things go. I want you to know we're about ready to launch a Send Church movement. congratulations. You moved to a higher position. We're about to move up to a higher position.
Reckless love of God. Welcome everyone. I want to welcome our newest member over there, a little bit in that stroller over there. Oh, and populating the room with beautiful baby boys. Or should I say, that's it right there. You're welcome, ladies. 1 month old, and Annie's Levi. I'm so thrilled for you both. You believe the best of everything God's will and plan for his life. Amen. I just want to welcome everyone who's here for the first time. We love having visitors in our church. We don't only love having visitors. We love it when you come back twice, three times, four times. That's especially good. But we love when someone comes to visit our church. We just want to make you feel welcome. I hope you do. And we want to just give you something right where you're sitting. So if you have a first time, why don't you just raise your hand that an usher can get back to you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, Aaron. And can you just take a moment, and there's a white card in there, just fill it up. We do know how to contact you. Praise God. Thanks, Pastor Steve.
All right. Yes. As I said, I'm so glad, Melissa, Rodney, you're here today. Glad you're here. My special guest today. Who did you invite to church today? I said, who did you invite to church today? How many invited someone? Wave your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, all of you, how about next week? You can change it. You can change it. Next week you can buy something, right?
Yes.
Well, praise God. We want to wish you all happy July 4th. This Wednesday is July the 4th. It's my sister's birthday as well, just by the way. It's her birthday, July 4th. And so every July 4th for my sister, I throw a big party across America. And I have fireworks across the land. I did a lot of you. I arranged it, that's right. So, well, July 4th, of course, we know is when we celebrate the birth of our nation. Our nation was birthed in 1776, correct? When we declared independence from England, United Kingdom, and became our own nation. And really, America is founded on democracy and freedom. Freedom to worship God, and so we have a little video we want to show you before we go into God's word this morning, just to celebrate July 4th, okay? Thank you.
I thought for the greatness and genius of America in our harbors and our apple rivers. But it was not there. I sought for her greatness in the fertile fields and the boundless forests. But it was not there. I sought for greatness in her rich mines and vast world commerce. But it was not there. I sought for greatness in her brilliant democracy and her matchless constitution. But it was not there. It wasn't until I spoke with the people in her streets, witnessed the freedom with which they lived their lives, the freedom to worship, speak their minds, and still find common ground, I then began to understand the secret of America's genius and power. We are America. We unite as men and women. blessed by the providence of God to be found in this great country. We pray for God's goodness to rest upon this great nation. God bless America.
Often, We try and use our faith to control our circumstances, but I've found that it's better to use my faith to control myself in the midst of my circumstances. Because I know if I can just stay stable in the storms of life, if I can just stay calm, if I can just stay in peace, that's what allows God to change things in my life. God never said we wouldn't have any difficulties, but He said we could have peace no matter what difficulty we may be facing. Amen. Amen. In John chapter 15, verse 33, Jesus said, "Everything that I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and give you great confidence as you rest in me." Notice that. Everything I've taught you so that the peace that's in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. The Bible says even though we experience trouble and difficulty, we can have peace and we can have confidence as we rest in Him. You see, when you face adversity, let me tell you, one of the most powerful things you can do is simply stay calm. Because when you're at peace, when you're in rest, you are proving to God that you trust Him. Because by your actions, you say, "God, I know you're still on the throne. I know you're bigger than this problem I'm facing. That's why I'm not worried. That's why I'm not going to panic. That's why I can stay calm. That's why I can have peace. Because I know, Lord, that you are bigger than this problem." You know, when the people of Israel came out of slavery in Egypt, and they were headed toward the promised land. Everyone knows that story, right? Anybody? Yes. They were so happy. They were finally free. They'd been slaves for 400 years. And they were so happy. God raised up Moses and did 10 amazing miracles and delivered them. But Pharaoh changed his mind. And he sent his army chasing after them. And they came to a dead end at the Red Sea. They had nowhere to go. The Red Sea was in front of them. And Pharaoh's army was behind them. Yeah. It looked impossible. It looked like it was an end. Instead of staying in faith, knowing that God had delivered them before and He would do it again, they got all upset. They got afraid. They started panicking. They started complaining. If you had the Egyptian army chasing after you, you may panic too. They said, "Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? It was better to serve the Egyptians and die in the wilderness." You see, listen, they were in the storm, but they made the mistake of letting the storm get on the inside of them. Moses knew he had to get them out of that negative mentality, or otherwise they would be defeated. And listen what Moses said, because I believe that what Moses said to them, God is saying to us today. "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see." No. "You shall see them again no more forever." You're not going to see them ever again. "The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace and remain at rest." The New Living Translation says, "Just stay calm." That's where I got my title from. Just stay calm. Moses said, "Listen, God's going to fight this battle. All you've got to do is stay at rest. Hold your peace. Just stay calm." Let me tell you, that's a powerful principle. Yes. God will fight your battles if you'll stay calm, remain at rest, remain in peace. That's what allows God to fight your battles for you.
Amen.
I've been through a few hurricanes. Anyone been through a hurricane yet?
Yeah.
I've been through a few, man. In fact, I've been through enough for my lifetime. I don't need to see no more hurricanes. I've been through about at least four hurricanes. And how many of you know, those hurricanes, man, the storm can be huge. It can be 90 miles wide. The winds can be 120 miles per hour. Knock trees down, telephone poles, blow roofs off of houses, do all kinds of damage. But do you know that right in the center of that storm is what is called the eye of the storm? And do you know in the eye of the storm, you all know, it's as peaceful as can be. Remember when the hurricane came? Man, it's like going crazy, and then all of a sudden it's quiet. It's the eye of the storm. Because you know it's going to pass over. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You can have the winds, the rain, the damage all around you. If you went out just a few miles, it would be dangerous. But if you stay in the eye of the storm, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Do you know it's the same principle in life? The storm may be raging in your health or in your finances. You could easily be torn apart. But right in the center of that storm, there's a place you can enter where you can find rest, where you can be in peace. You see, God may not deliver you from every storm, but if you'll learn to stay in the eye of the storm, you can have peace right in the middle of the worst hurricane.
Amen.
Some of you are facing major challenges right now. And you're constantly wrestling with that problem. You're so worried about it. You can't sleep well. And maybe you're trying to fix this person. You're trying to pay someone back who did you wrong. You're trying to pray long enough to show God you mean business. You're all worked up, anxious. Hebrews 4 verse 3 says this. It says, for we who have believed do enter rest. Do you know how you can tell when you really are believing God? Because you come into a place of rest.
Amen.
You're in a place of peace. The Passion Translation says it like this. Now, for those of you who attend church here regularly, you know that I often like to read the same scripture from different translations, because sometimes it just gives us a little bit of insight into the verse. The Passion Bible says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. See, when you really believe God, the way you can tell it is because you are in absolute rest, a confident rest. You know everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
You know God is working behind the scenes. Yeah. See, if you want God to take care of that problem, then you've got to come back to that place of rest. Because that's where you really show God that you believe in.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Rest means, I looked up the word rest, and one of the meanings is it means ease, relaxation, freedom from strain, or a support on which things can be put. In other words, if I said, you know, Abel said, rest your head on my shoulder. What am I doing? He's taking the weight. I'm just, he's a support. You see, you've got to rest on God.
Amen.
You've got to rest in the Lord. Yeah. You're not stressing. You're not straining. You rest in trusting God. Rest means no worry, no stress, no negativity, no complaining, no anxiety, no fear. And rest is not inactive. Rest is active.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about an inactive where you just, you know, you're just not thinking or doing it. I'm talking about where you deliberately are resting in God.
Amen.
Trusting in God.
That's right.
See, here's the key. You may be in the storm, but don't let the storm get inside you.
Amen.
In other words, there may be someone who's aggravating you. Someone trying to get on your nerves. Don't let that get on the inside. Don't give away your peace. You've got to shake it off and just move on. And you've got a situation in your health, in your family, in your finance. You could easily be worrying about it night and day. But listen, just do your best and then trust God to do the rest. You can't stop every storm, But you can stop it from getting on the inside of you. I think about Daniel in the Bible. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. But the amazing thing about it is it didn't upset him. He didn't stay up all night praying, begging God, please help me, please protect me. He wasn't up all night praying to God. No, he just stayed calm. He stayed in peace. He walked into the lion's den, laid down, and went to sleep. Are you kidding me? Have you ever seen a lion up in close, in the wild? I'm not talking about at Lion Club Safari, is that what it's called? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real lion out there in the wild, man. Let me tell you, they are ferocious. I can't even imagine having a den of lions and just walking in and laying down. See you later. Can you imagine? That's what Daniel did. Right in the middle of that storm. His attitude was, God, I know you're still on the throne. If I die tonight, I know I'll come to heaven and be with you, but if it's not my time to go, then I know all the forces of darkness cannot take me, so I'm going to relax, I'm going to keep my peace, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to enjoy my life. That's what he did. He was in the storm, but he didn't let the storm get on the inside of him. He remained at peace. He remained calm. He remained at rest. That's what allows God to go to work on your behalf. But you see, if you worried and you're anxious and you're stressed out and you're fighting against everything, we tie the hands of Almighty God when we do that. Someone told me about a friend of theirs. He was a mechanic at one of these big diesel shops. He worked on these big 18-wheeler trucks. And for years he worked there, he wasn't treated well. I mean, people would make fun of him because he wouldn't go fighting with them. You know, he was a strong Christian. And year after year, he put up with their ridicule, their sarcasm. They treated him like he was a second-class citizen, like he was inferior. But the truth was, he was the top-producing mechanic for 7 years in a row. He never got a raise. He never got a promotion, any kind of bonus. Because his supervisor didn't like him. And he could have easily lived stressed out and angry when someone told him, what I'm telling you, don't lose your peace. Just stay calm. Just stay at rest. Don't let those people get on your nerves. You're not working unto them. You're working unto God. You know, promotion comes not from the west and not from the east, but promotion comes from God. So he just shook it off. He kept being his best. It was bad all around him, but he found the eye of the storm. He knew God was in complete control. And one day, the owner of the company, out of the blue, called him. He never even met the owner of the company because he wasn't involved in the day-to-day details of the business. And the owner said that he wanted to retire, and he was looking for someone he could sell the company to. So he offered it to this man. He wanted to buy it. And the man said, I don't have the money to buy this business. You know, I'm just an employee. So the owner said that, he said, I'll loan you the money. I'm going to loan you the money to buy the business. So today, that man owns the company. He's got 80 people working for him. He said, they used to call me names, but now they call me boss. You see, when you stay in peace, God will not only fight your battles, but he'll pay you back for the trouble that the enemy brought into your life. The Bible says he'll restore double for your trouble. And how many know there's some people that just peace stealers? Some people, I think, it's their calling in life to try and aggravate you. Try and make you look bad. You know, tell you what you can't do. They'll try and get you in an argument. Try and get you upset, annoyed, frustrated. But listen, don't take the bait. I want you to know they are not worth losing your peace over. They might think they're getting the best of you, but in the end, because of what they've done, God will take you higher.
Amen.
They think they're pushing you down, but because you stayed in peace and you stayed in rest, what they're doing, they're actually pushing you up.
Amen.
Maybe the people where you work treat you badly, or maybe they talk down to you constantly. They act like you can't do anything right. They are just peace stealers. There are some people that I call them peace stealers. You've got to remember, you are not who they say that you are.
Way to go.
issue, Paul. And if you will stay in peace and just keep on being your best, God will promote you right in front of those people. I love Psalm 23 verse 5 that says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That means God will elevate you so that all of those who try to keep you down will clearly see it in the presence of your enemies. You've got to quit trying to win someone who's never going to like you. Some people don't want to be at peace with you. You've got to come to a place where you say, I'm at peace with you not being at peace with me. In other words, I don't need your approval to feel good about me. I don't need to be in your group to enjoy my life. I'm at peace with you not liking me. I'm at peace with you trying to make me look bad because I know a secret. My secret, when I remain at rest, when I remain at peace, then the creator of the universe will fight my battles. He will be my vindicator and he will get me to where I'm supposed to be. That's why I'm not letting anything steal my peace. Let me tell you, God sees every wrong that's been done to you. God sees every unfair situation. God told the people of Israel, the Israelites, in Exodus chapter 3, it says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And do you know when God brought them out, they didn't come out of Egypt empty-handed? Do you know God made their enemies give them their wealth? Do you know Psalm 105 verse 37 says he brought them out with silver and gold? There wasn't one feeble among them. They came out, not one sick person, and the Egyptians gave them their silver and their gold. You see, somebody might have done you wrong. You could easily be angry and bitter, spend your life trying to pay them back, trying to prove to them who you are. But if you will let God do it his way, he will pay you back much more than you lost. He will make it up to you in a much greater way. You know, it's one thing to come through a trial when everyone's praying for you, everyone's cheering you on, and that's great. We need people to encourage us. But I think it's even a greater testimony when you come through a trial and nobody even knew you were going through it. Because you're so consistent, you're so stable, you're so calm, you've got so much peace, nobody could tell that there was anything wrong.
Yes.
Amen. See, no matter what comes our way, our attitude should be, I know God is still on the throne. I know he is with me and he is for me, and I know that everything is going to be all right.
Yes.
You need to let that phrase sink down in your heart. Everything's going to be all right. Tell your neighbor, everything's going to be all right. Someone says, I've heard they're laying people off at your company. Your attitude should be yes, but Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. He's still on the throne, and everything's going to be all right. That's what happened for Kathy Battle. She was laid off at her job after 23 years of working there. Within 2 weeks, God gave her another job. Am I right? Within 2 weeks. Someone says, your child's sure acting up. Your attitude should be, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
Someone says, I heard you got a bad report from the doctor. I heard you got a bad report. Your attitude should be, yes, but I've got another report. And it says, God is restoring health back to me. Everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
See, if you'll meditate on that simple phrase, no matter how big the challenge, it'll help you stay calm. Everything is going to be all right. Some of you have been wrestling with that situation month after month. You've been anxious, you've been worried. But let me tell you, God is saying to you today, Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. The contemporary Bible says how God says, calm down and learn I'm God. God says, hey listen, calm down. I'm still God. I've got this. I didn't lose my power. The Passion Bible says, surrender your anxiety. Be silent. Stop your striving, and you will see that I'm God. Do you want to see that he's God? Surrender your anxiety. Stop striving. Be at rest. Be at peace. Calm down. Get your peace back. Get your joy back. It might look dark and gloomy, but let me tell you, right above those dark clouds, the sun is still shining.
Yes.
Isaiah 49 verse 2 says, He kept me safely hidden in the palm of His hand. God has got you safely hidden in the palm of His hand. You've got to turn it over to Him. Quit worrying about it. Everything is going to be all right.
Yes.
You know, sometimes God doesn't deliver us from the storm. He takes us through the storm. You see, there's two kinds of faith. There's a delivering kind of faith, and there's a sustaining kind of faith. Now, the delivering kind of faith is when God instantly turns that situation around, and of course, we all love that. But most of the time, God gives you a sustaining faith. That's where we have grace to walk through that difficulty. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Lord, you are with me.
Amen.
See, if you don't understand this, you'll try and pray away every challenge. You'll fight against everything you don't like. You'll end up frustrated. That's why I love Joseph. Because even though it wasn't fair what happened to Joseph, he didn't fight it. He embraced it. He kept a good attitude. He kept being his best. He kept staying in peace. And God brought him out on top. That's sustaining faith. What about their three Hebrew teenagers? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were commanded by the king Nebuchadnezzar. Whenever you hear the music, you've got to bow down to the king's idol. You've got to get down and you've got to bow down to this idol, this golden idol that the king had made. And you have to worship before the idol. Or if you don't do it, you're going to be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. You know what they said? These were teenagers. They said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied, Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we are not worried about what will happen to us. We're not worried about what will happen to us. If we're thrown into the flaming furnace, our God is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. You've got to think about it, man. These are teenagers. And they're standing before King Nebuchadnezzar, the world empire of the day. They said, we don't worry, king. If you throw us in that burning fiery furnace, our God is able to deliver us. And He will deliver us. Their attitude was, we're not worried about it. We got inside information. We know everything is going to be all right. Notice they didn't fight it. They weren't upset. They weren't stressed out. They weren't complaining. They were at peace. They stayed calm. They knew nothing could happen without God's permission. And you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, he became furious. And he ordered them, turn up the furnace 7 times. Turn it up 7 times. And they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the burning fiery furnace.
Yeah.
And what happened? The fourth man showed up.
Amen.
The fourth man showed up. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement. He exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie 3 men up and throw them into the furnace, your majesty? Yes, they said. We threw 3 men into the burning fiery furnace. Look, Nebuchadnezzar said, I see 4 men. And they're walking around and they're unharmed. And the fourth one looks like a god. We tied them up and we threw them in. Now they're 4 men. And they're walking around and they're not hurt. They're not, what's going on? Who is that fourth man? Do you know who the fourth man was in the burning fiery furnace? Let me tell you can see him throughout the pages of the Bible. In Genesis, he's called the seed of woman that would crush the head of Satan. In Exodus, he's called the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman and redeemer. In Samuel, he's the prophet of the Lord. In Kings, he's our mighty king. In Chronicles, he is the Shekinah glory of God filling the temple. In Ezra, he's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken walls of life. In Esther, he's the queenly figure making intercession for her people whom she loves. In Job, he's the ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is the shepherd who restores my soul and leads me beside the still waters. In Proverbs, he's eternal wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's eternal life. In the Song of Solomon, he's our lover and our bridegroom, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the fairest of 10,000. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lamb wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the burning fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty Savior. In Jonah, he's the forgiving God of another chance. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. And in Habakkuk, he's the evangelist crying out for revival. In Zephaniah, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Haggai, he's the cleansing fountain opening the house of David. In Zechariah, he's the pierced son. And in Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he is the Holy Ghost, the giver of the Holy Ghost. In Romans, he's the doctor fire. In Corinthians, he's the sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God who supplies all my needs. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Thessalonians, he is our soon and coming King. In Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's the faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's our great physician. In Peter, he's our chief shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he is God. In Jude, he is the Lord coming with 10,000 angels. And in Revelation, he is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. Who the God says, what man? And the word is the Holy Spirit. Who the says, what man? And the word is the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you who he was. He's the father to the orphan. He's the husband to the widow. He's the bright morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the honey of the rock. He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the expression of the person of God. He is the King of glory. He is the pearl of great price. He's the rock in the weary land. He's the cup that runs over. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the rod that comforts. He's the government of life. He's the miracle worker. He's the one who raises the dead. He is the one who heals the sick. He's the one who makes the blind see. He's the one who walks on the water. He's the one who can't perceive. He's the one who feeds the multitude. His name is Jesus Christ.
God didn't deliver them from the fire.
but he delivered them through the fire.
Yeah.
You see, if you're going to stay in peace, you're going to let God do it his way. Because if you're only going to be happy if it happens your way on your timetable, then you're going to probably end up frustrated. Because God's ways are not always our ways. His timetable may not always line up with our timetable.
Yeah.
But I found out God's way is much better than my way. His way may take a little longer. I might have to stretch and go through some challenges and difficulties, but when it's all said and done, family, you're going to come out promoted, increased, elevated, restored, and better off than what you were before. That's what Isaiah 43 says. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through, when you walk through the fire of oppression, you see, you've got to walk through it, man. You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel.
Wow.
You see? Isaiah, Psalm 66, verse 12 says, we went through fire and flood, but you brought us out to a place of great abundance. See, you say, oh, Pastor Steve, I'm going through the fire. I'm going through the flood. That's okay. God's bringing you out to a place of great abundance. The Passion Bible says, we pass through fire and flood, yet in the end, you always bring us up better than what we were before, saturated with your goodness. You always bring us out better than what we were before. Let me tell you, God is about to turn it around. God is about to bring you out better than what you were before. God is about to amaze you with his goodness, family. When you remain at rest, God will bring you out. You might be in the fire. But remember, favor's coming. You might be going through deep waters, but if you'll hold your peace, if you'll stay calm, favor is headed your way. Maybe like Joseph, you're in a situation where you're not being treated right. If you will just stay calm, if you will just stay at rest, if you will just keep trusting God, I assure you, something good is coming. Favor is coming. Vindication is coming. Breakthroughs are coming. Weeping might endure for the night, but the scripture says joy is coming in the morning.
Amen.
Be still and know that he is God. Some of you are in the fire right now. You're in a difficult time right now. You can easily live angry, be upset, be worried, be bitter. But you need, listen to me, you need to come back to that place of peace. Because God has favor in your future. God already has the solution. Isaiah 30 verse 15 declares, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. The Contemporary Bible says, if you turn back to me and calm down, I will make you stronger. If you will turn to me and just calm down, just rest in me, just trust in me, I'll make you strong. Let me tell you, you're going to have a greater strength when you get quiet. When you're at peace, when you're at rest, when you're calm, you think better. You make better decisions. You'll feel better. You'll have more energy. You're not going to just endure life, but let me tell you, you're going to enjoy life.
Yes.
You may say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm stressed out. My child's acting up. Or I'm worried. My finances are low. Or I'm anxious because my health doesn't look good. I don't doubt that you're in a storm. I'm simply asking you to come into the eye of the storm. Believe that God has you in the palm of his hands. Believe right now God is fighting your battles. Believe God is going to take what was meant for your harm, and he's going to use it for your advantage, for your good. Family, listen. Life is too short to live frustrated and worried and anxious and bitter and wrought up. You've got to shake that off. Come back to that place of peace. Back to that place of rest.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I'm going to close with this today. One time, the disciples were in a boat. They were out on the lake, and a great storm arose. The winds were blowing. The waves were crashing into the boat. It was so bad, it looked like they thought the boat was going to capsize. They thought it was over. They were upset. The disciples were afraid. And it says in Mark chapter 4, but Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. While the storm's going on, Jesus is asleep. So they shook him awake. They said, teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to die? Fully awake, he rebuked the storm, shouted to the sea, hush, calm down, And at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. Then he turned to the disciples and he said, "Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" But they were overwhelmed with fear and awe. They said to one another, "Who is this man who has such authority that even the wind and the waves obey him?" How many of you know that the scripture describes Jesus as the Word made flesh? John 1 verse 14. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word was made flesh. You see, Jesus is called the Word. Have you ready? Jesus is called the Word made flesh. Right back in the beginning, in Genesis, where God said, "Let there be light." That was Jesus who said that. Let there be, he's the Word. Let there be light. That's right. You could say, when the disciples woke up Jesus, they woke up the Word. Because he's the Word made flesh. They woke up the Word. And in your storm, if you want to see God's favor, if you want to see God turn it around, instead of complaining and worrying, you need to wake up the Word. You need to wake up the Word. If you start speaking victory to that storm, you've got to speak victory to the storm. Because if you don't talk to the storm, let me tell you, the storm's going to talk to you. The storm's going to tell you, you're not going to make it, the enemy's too big, you're never going to get well. No, you're going to wake up the Word. Father, you said when the enemy comes against me, like a flood, you would lift up a barrier against it. You said, "You're my life, my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" You said, "If God is for me, what can stand? Who can stand against me?" You said you'd be my vindicator. You said I'd live and not die. You said you'd restore health to me. You said you'd supply all of my needs. If you start waking up the Word, your storm will calm down.
Wake it up.
If you start declaring what God says about you, not only will you have more peace, but let me tell you, when God's Word is coming out of your mouth, it's active, it's alive. The Bible says the Word of God is alive. And it is active. When you speak God's Word, all of heaven comes to attention. The angels of God go to work. The favor of God is released in your life when you speak God's Word. See, when you're in a storm, you can't be passive. You can't just sit back and let the negative thoughts play in your mind all day long. "Oh, it's so bad. You're never going to make it. Oh, it's never going to change." And you've got to get on the offensive. Your declaration should be, "I may be in the fire, but I know favor is coming. I may be in the famine, but I know increase is headed my way. I may be in the flood, but I know breakthroughs are in my future." You can have peace right in the midst of a storm. I'm asking you, family, to stay calm. I'm asking you to hold on to your peace. It might be bad all around you. You've got to find that eye of the storm, that place of peace, family. That's when God says he'll fight your battles. He'll make your wrongs right. Quit letting other people upset you. You've got to shake it off. Let God be your vindicator. God doesn't deliver us from every storm. He may take us through the storm. Don't fight it. Embrace where you are. Stay calm. That's how you prove to God you trust him. In those storms, you're going to wake up the Word. Declare what God says about your situation. Because if you will be still, if you will stay calm, if you will be at rest, if you will know that he is God, I assure you, everything is going to be all right. Yes. Just like with Joseph, God will bring you out. Just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you'll come out without the smell of smoke. I believe you will overcome every obstacle. I believe you will defeat every enemy. I believe you will accomplish every dream that God has given you. In the name of Jesus, I declare, family, God is fighting your battles for you. God is doing turning what the enemy meant for your heart to your advantage. Just stay calm. Just trust him. Just stay in peace. In Jesus' name. Do you believe it today? Do you receive it today? You know, this is something that has been very real to me. You know, because 2 years ago, and We lost our church building in a foreclosure. People have heard me talk about this so many times, but to illustrate the point to you, let me tell you, I was very tempted. It would be very easy for me to give up or to worry or to be stressed out or to be anxious about it, whatever. But I just chose. I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to stay at rest. I believe that God is taking what the enemy meant for our harm and He's turning it around to our advantage. I believe that God is for you. Who can be against you? I just stay calm. I was amazed how calm I was. And you know the story. Out of the blue, we get a phone call from Joe Siegel. And long story short, we're getting ready right now. We're renovating our new building. We're getting ready to launch the same church. Show us the building. We're going to be moving into a new building. And God just did a miracle for us. Because we coming out of this, we lost the building in foreclosure. And we were on a street that was kind of, you know, a side street. God's taking us. And our new building is on Indian Town. It's on the main road. It's all going to be done out new. It's going to be better than what we had before. Let me tell you, we are going to a better place. The Lord has done great things for us. God has done a miracle for us. I mean, the provision, the way that the finances have come in, just it's been amazing. We were hoping and planning to be in a new building today.
Yeah.
Today's July 1st, right?
Yeah.
Today we were planning to be in a new building. We had a little bit of a, you know,
delay.
How many of you know these things don't always go the way you want them to go?
That's right.
We had a delay at the city. Delayed us 5-6 weeks. An issue with the city. And thank God, on Tuesday, Chris and I, our general contractor, we met with the fire marshal, and we met with the city officials, and we worked out a plan. We have now, if you go over 300 people, you have to have fire sprinklers. We don't want to put fire sprinklers, because it's $52,000. So we made some adjustments where we showed our occupancy is 295, so we submitted the plans on Friday. I'm believing God that we have a quick, fast review process, that we need to get our permit because we're ready to go put the drywall up. We want to put the walls up. We want to put the ceilings in. We want to start putting the lights in. Tom Cartwright called me, and thank you, Tom. Tom and Anna, they bought all the lights. We've got 3 big chandeliers. They brought them from China. All the lights.
Amen. And I like to read a passage of scripture, and the one that
Lord just prompted to my heart was the story of Elijah. And in 1 Kings 17, the story goes that Elijah had gone to the wicked king Ahab, and he threatened him and said, well, he just told him, there'll be not a drop of rain until I say so. And so there was a drought in the land. And God directed the man of God, Elijah, to a place where he was provided for at the brook. And then after a period of time, that brook dried up. And so we pick up the story from there. God directs him and he tells him where to go. It says, eventually the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him and he said to him, get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon, in Sidon, and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. So he got up and he went to Zarephath. So I found it very interesting that here we have a man of God who has a need, and he sends him to a woman of God who has a need, right? Isn't that interesting? To me, the logical thought would be that if somebody has a need, that you'd send them to someone who has a lot of money, right? Or a lot of provision. That would make logical sense, wouldn't it? But God does this differently. He sees things in a different way. He basically says, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone right here, right? It's kind of like, you know, with Pastor Steve and I, like he was talking about the new building, and we will, you know, we are thinking about the need that the church has. We think about raising funds. We think about bills that have to be paid. And you sitting and you thinking about your bills that have to be paid and your needs that have to. And this is the way we come to God. We come to God thinking about the needs we have. But he looks down and he sees the whole situation and he says, let me kill two birds with one stone. I'm going to take care of that need and I'm going to take care of that need at the same time. Isn't that interesting? So he goes on and says, as he came to the entrance of the village, he met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. And he asked her, please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink. And as she went to get it, he called out and he said, and while you're at it, will you bring me something to eat? She said, I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we will die. Isn't this sometimes like, I mean, I've been where you're sitting. I'm not always receiving the offering. I'm sitting in church. Isn't it sometimes like us when it comes to offering time? We look at what we have and we say it's too little to make any difference, right? And plus, if I give from what little I have, I'm going to not have enough for myself. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But Elijah said to her, don't worry about a thing. Say, don't worry about a thing.
Don't worry about a thing.
He says, go ahead and do what you've said, but first make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. For this is the word of the Lord God of Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and to end this drought. That says the word of the Lord came. What is the word of the Lord? The Bible says that God said, my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I sent it forth to do. Do we believe that, family?
Yeah.
Do we believe that when God says something, he'll do it?
Amen.
We can believe the word of God. Elijah said to her, this is the word of the Lord to you. Just do what he says, and he will do what he said he will do for you. Right? So God will honor his word. And she went right off and she did it, just as Elijah had asked. It turned out just as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal did not run out, and the bottle of oil did not become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter, exactly as Elijah had delivered it. So, you know, as we come to give today, we think about raising funds for our building. We think about tithes and offerings. We think about God's thinking about the needs that you have. Like we read in the Word, he knows, he sees, he knows exactly what situation we're in. And yet he still tells us, just trust me. Just tithe. give as I direct you. Trust me. My word will not return to me void. It will accomplish. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Right? And so today as we come to give, give in faith. Give trusting God. Relax. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what tomorrow holds. He'll take care of it. Amen?
Amen.
There's envelopes right on the seat where you are. You can go ahead and give your tithes and offerings in the black. The red is for the offering towards the building. We appreciate you giving. We're trusting God with you. We believe that you are channels of blessing. We believe the windows of heaven are open above you. Amen? That every need in your life is met. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and ushers, go ahead. Thank you.
Before you do that, ushers, praise God. Now, like my wife mentioned, don't stop yet. Like my wife mentioned, the black envelope is for giving your tithes and offerings to Christian Family Church, and the red envelope for giving to the new building. We are trusting the Lord. We're still trusting God. About $30,000 to finish everything. As you know, we want to go through the drywall, the ceilings, and the lights. And then once that's done, then we can do the flooring. That's really it. So thank you for giving. I want to ask you to hold that envelope in your hand because I want to pray right now. You know, the Bible says that as you seek first the kingdom of God, that all these other things will be added to you. You know, it's amazing when you put God first and when you give to the house of God, God will take care of your house. It's amazing how it happens. When you say, well, I'm going to support the work of God and I'm going to support the house of God, God will take care of your house. Lord, you promised that when we tithe, that you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour blessings upon us and you would rebuke the devourer. So Lord, I thank you right now for every tithe, every giver in this church. I thank you, Lord, for the generosity of your people. And Lord, I pray right now, I thank you for opening the windows of heaven. And I thank you for pouring blessings on people. I thank you right now, Lord, for supernatural favor. I thank you for opening doors for people. I thank you for pouring out blessing. I thank you for guiding. I thank you for directing us, Lord. I thank you for supernatural promotion, Lord, for bringing clients, for inspired ideas, Lord. I just thank you, Father. There's a thousand different ways you can bless your people. And I thank you for bringing supernatural increase in the name of Jesus, Lord, as your people have given unto your house. I thank you that you provide for them and you take care of their house. In Jesus' name, if you receive it, say amen.
Amen.
Say thank you, Lord.
Thank
the
you, Lord.
Windows of heaven are open above me. Because I am a tither. I am a giver. And I thank you, Lord, for supplying every need in my life. That I have no lack. Say the Lord is my shepherd. And I do not lack for any good thing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can go ahead and thank you.
Thank you.
Between you and God, You can know that every sin, every mistake you've ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you will spend eternity. Heaven is real. There's a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray right now for anyone here this morning. This is Pastor Steve. Pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I ask you, if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, pray for me, Pastor Steve, I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that God is with me. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly just lift your hand up right now. Just slip it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. God bless you. All right, I want to ask everyone who raised up your hand, please say this prayer with me. In fact, church, let's all say this together. Everybody, say, dear God.
Dear God.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That you love me so much.
That you love me so much.
That you sent Jesus,
you
your
sent
son.
Jesus, your son.
To come to this earth.
To come to this earth.
For me.
For me.
To die on the cross.
To die on the cross.
To take my sin.
To take my
sin. My punishment. To shed his blood.
Shed his
blood.
Lord, you said,
that if I believe,
in
God,
raised Jesus from the dead,
that if I confess,
Jesus is my Lord,
you said I would be saved.
So I do this today.
Jesus, I believe.
Jesus, I
believe.
With all
my heart.
You're
the Son of God.
You're the Son of God.
You've been raised from the dead.
From the dead.
I confess you as Lord. I ask you come into my heart.
Save me.
Cleanse me of my sin. Make me your child.
Make me your child.
I surrender.
My life to you.
I ask you. Be my Lord and Savior. From today. I will follow you. I will do what your Bible says. You are now my Lord. And I thank you.
Thank you.
Because I have received
you.
I'm now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God.
God,
you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down. In your book of life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everyone said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. I believe it'll be very soon. We'll be in our own building. Thank you for praying. I believe in August we'll be in the building. So everyone, happy